Well, guys, I want to start this morning out with a trivia question. What is the first verse of the Bible? My gosh, that took a while. And you got it right, but it was as if you asked me, is it Genesis 1:1? It's not a trick question. Let's turn to Genesis 1:1, and when you get there, say, that was kind of too easy, Pastor Vinny. Of course, Terry's having trouble again trying to find that first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Okay, that's all we want today. Because, folks, that is a powerful statement. In the beginning, God. You are holding the best-selling book of all time in your hands. You are holding a book that will give you the most accurate and most detailed information about the history of the universe, the history of the world, the history of mankind. You're holding a book in your hand that will give you the most accurate information with regards to the future that lies ahead for us. And it begins with, in the beginning, God. Folks, that alone should pique everyone's attention to want to know who this God is. But sadly, God has become nothing more than some generic religious term that a lot of people like to throw around out there because it makes them feel spiritual. And instead of people throughout history taking time to study and research who this God is in Genesis 1:1, people have just kind of decided to make God out to be whatever they think He should be. And so what I want to do over the next few weeks is I want to begin to take a look at getting to know God. A lot of times the only thing people want to know about God is, what can God do for me? People pray, God, please heal my sickness. God, please give me some comfort in my time of struggles. God, please help my marriage or my relationships. God, please give me a job. Give me a better job. But let me ask you, when's the last time you prayed, God, teach me to know you better? God, teach me to grow in my knowledge and my understanding of you. See, if a person's prayers consist of just praise and requests, then to me that says that they're simply content in their understanding of God. They really don't have any desire to know more about Him. Peter told his people in the book of 2 Peter, he said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul told the Christians in the church in Ephesus, he said, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord and Jesus of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Folks, when a person is content with what they know about God, that person really don't know much about God at all. Because the more we know about God, the more we should want to know more about God. So let's begin with, is it possible that we can get to know God? The answer to that is both yes and no. See, it is absolutely possible to get to know God. But it is absolutely equally impossible to get to know everything about God. Isaiah says, God's understanding, no one can fathom. It says God's intelligence is unsearchable. Job wrote in his book, he said, how great is God beyond our understanding? He says, can you search the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? In other words, understanding God in His complete fullness is an absolute impossibility. I think it was the actor Kirk Cameron. He said, trying to understand God is like trying to pour the ocean in a coffee cup. Ephesians 3:19 tells us, says, just the love of Christ alone surpasses our knowledge. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God alone surpasses all understanding. Folks, the extent and the magnitude of just the love and the peace of God alone is so vast that it exceeds far more than all of us together could comprehend. And we haven't even mentioned the multitude of other characteristics out there that describe God. The Apostle Paul told the Christians in Ephesus, he said that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than all that we could ever ask or imagine. And so, if God is beyond our comprehension, why even bother trying to understand Him? And I would say, first and foremost, we should want to get to know God better simply because God wants us to know Him. When you figure all the things that God has done to make Himself known to man, it's pretty obvious He wants us to know Him. And I'm going to deal more with that in a while on how we can get to know God better. Secondly, why should we bother getting to know God if He's beyond our comprehension? Because God wants us to know Him as someone to be more than just a supreme deity up above. The better our understanding of God is, the less likely we are to form some false ideals or false images of God. When God brought the Hebrews out of Egypt, He had to re-educate them on who He was. They had spent centuries in Egypt worshiping false gods, and so during that whole Exodus story, God did all sort of things to reveal Himself to them so that they would come to understand Him better. God performed the 10 plagues we all know about. God parted the Red Sea. He killed the Egyptian army. He protected the Israelites with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He poured manna down from the sky for them to eat. He brought water out of a rock so they'd have something to drink. Also, they would have a better understanding of Him and not get Him confused with all those Egyptian gods that they'd been surrounded by for many years. Folks, if there's ever a time in the history of this nation that we need to get to know God better, it's probably right now, because this nation don't even know which God we're under. When we consider the legalization of homosexual marriages, one of the reasons that came about was because the people of this nation have a misunderstanding of God. One of the reasons so many people say, well, everybody has their own God, and so I'll worship the God of my choice, you worship the God of your choice, is because people fail to understand God. One of the reasons some Christians have this nonchalant, casual attitude when it comes to the church, it's because their understanding of God is elementary. A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Thirdly, why should we bother to try to understand God who is beyond our comprehension? Because He wants us to worship Him in truth. Jesus told that woman at the Samaritan well, if you remember that story in John chapter 4, He told her, He said, those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. Folks, we are all created with a desire to worship. I don't care where you go in the world, everyone has been created with an ingrained desire to be worshipers. It comes by nature. And so Jesus is saying that He wants us to worship the right God in the right way. When you get down to it, a person's quality of worship is determined by their understanding of God. Because it is hard to worship a God we don't understand. I've shared before that church I used to pastor before when I was bivocational, I worked at Krispy Kreme Donuts, and on Sunday mornings I brought in unloaded Krispy Kreme Donuts and put them on a table in there, and they were for the people to enjoy, but some people had a false understanding of God, or an elementary understanding of God, and they just felt it was free, that during the time when the church should be worshiping God, they needed a donut. To the point we finally quit the donuts. See, that's a weak elementary understanding of God, that in the time of worship, a Krispy Kreme donut is what you're desiring. And I love Krispy Kreme, so it's nothing against Krispy Kremes. Fourthly, why should we try to get to understand a God that's beyond our comprehension? Because God don't want us to just know Him. He wants us to know Him personally. God doesn't want us to just know Him on an intellectual level. He wants us to know Him on a personal level. He wants our knowledge and our understanding of Him to go beyond our heads and get into our hearts. See, when a person's understanding of God gets into their heart, they will long to have a personal relationship with God that is built on truth instead of opinions. And that is ultimately what God is after all along. Folks, the fact that God wants us to know Him, the fact that God wants us to understand Him, so that we will have a personal relationship with Him, should be absolutely fascinating to us. When you figure that right after our text there in Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God, and then it goes on and it says, God created. Folks, that's absolutely fascinating for a couple reasons. The Bible teaches that everything God created was created for us. All of nature is for us. Whether it's just for its beauty and its enjoyment and the pleasure of being outdoors. It could be for food or drink or whatever it is. God created it all for us. And if that isn't enough, after God created everything, He turns around and He entrusts it all to us to be caretakers. That's fascinating. We should want to get to know that God. Secondly, out of all the things that God created here on earth, we are the only creatures that He seeks to have a personal relationship with. Some of you won't admit it, but we all seek attention from others to one degree or another. I mean, Lois had to top the fireworks off by falling out of her chair. I'm sorry I said her name. I meant to keep it as short person. I'm sorry, Lois. We all seek attention from others to one degree or another, folks. We could all sit down and write out a list of names of, say, famous people, either presently or in the past, that we would like to just get to spend time with and get to know them a little better. But folks, here's the Creator of every living thing on earth. And you and I are the only things that He wants to have that personal relationship with. Folks, that is a God that we should long to get to know better every day. That is the God that we should have a burning desire to want to grow in our understanding of. So why bother getting to know a God that's beyond our comprehension? And this, folks, is a big one to me. The more we get to know God, the more we will get to know ourselves. The more we understand God, the more we understand ourselves. Go down to verse 26 there in Genesis 1, if you would. Verses you're absolutely familiar with. Verse 26, Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And then in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." Folks, our understanding of ourselves begins with knowing that we are made in the image and likeness of God. That is one of the reasons why the world of secular psychology has so many faults in its analysis of the human race. Because if they don't understand God and His characteristics, they cannot adequately understand man and his characteristics, because we are made in the image and likeness of God. When God created man, God made us to be spiritual beings just like He is. When God made us, He made us to be spiritually alive just like He is. He made us to be good and innocent in our moral qualities just like He is. He made us to be communicable and relational just like He is. He made man to be volitional, to be decision makers, just like He is. He made man to be mentally able to rationalize and think things through, just like He does. He made man to be intellectual, just like God. He made man to be creative, just like He is. He made man to be emotional, just like God is. He made man to be eternal, just like God is. Once man sinned, we began to do things that messed up that image of God in us. But there's good news. Because once a person gives their life to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that God begins to transform us, conform us, and renew us back to that image of God. And so one of the reasons why it is so important that we pursue getting to know God better is because we will then begin to understand the image and likeness of God, which is why He works in our lives. The more we understand why God does what He does in our lives, the more we will understand what He's doing to conform us to be like the image of Christ. And so by studying God and getting to know Him better, we will have a better understanding to know what He's doing in our lives and why, as He forms us to be like Christ. And so one of the reasons why it is so important that we pursue getting to know God better is so we can better understand ourselves. And I want to add something else here that I think should be a motivator in driving us to pursue having a better understanding of God. Out of everything that God created, you and I are the only things that are said to have been created in the image and the likeness of God. That's how unique you and I are in the eyes of God. The animals were not made in the image and likeness of God. The plants were not made in the image and likeness of God. And believe it or not, folks, even the angels were not created in the image and likeness of God. And so when you get down to it, the question is not, why even bother trying to understand God? The question is, why would you not want to pursue an understanding of God? And the obvious question to follow that is, how do we get to know God better? How can we develop a better understanding of who God is and what God is like? Well, God has essentially chosen two ways to reveal Himself to mankind. One of those ways is referred to as general revelation. The other way is called special revelation. General revelation refers to the knowledge of God that is available to all people from all time periods in all places. For example, I've talked about this a lot. Creation is a form of general revelation. God, as we've talked about in the past, has revealed Himself to every person around the world throughout all of history just through creation alone. I'm going to read some verses for you out of Psalm 19 that puts it very clear. Psalm 119 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day they pour out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." It says, "There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The sun and its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." All around the world, God's nature speaks to people. Romans 1:20, we looked at this last week just with a different message. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made." Folks, if a person never owned a Bible, if a person never heard of God, never heard of Jesus Christ, when they look around at creation, they should develop some kind of understanding that there is indeed a Creator. The complexity of creation alone should tell all people that there is a Creator that is imaginative, ingenious, innovative, full of wisdom. The vastness of creation alone should tell man that the Creator is almighty and powerful. Seeing how nature works, a person should realize that whoever that Creator is, He's orderly and He's a Creator with a purpose. When a person looks at a lot of the things that we use from nature for our own survival, they should gather that there's a Creator who loves them and cares for them. And learning all of those things alone, just through creation, should cause a person to have great admiration of the Creator and leave them wanting to get to know Him better and better. If you're familiar with that story in the Old Testament, the book of Job, you know that Job and his friends, they come to the conclusion that they had figured God out. They knew all there was about God. And then all of a sudden, God shows up and He says to Job, "Job, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me." And from there, God went on and asked Job a series of about 43 questions that would expose Job to just how much he did not know about God. Out of those 43 or so questions that God asked Job, I don't believe any of them was theological. I don't believe any of them was doctrinal. They all dealt with just nature alone. Creation and nature alone. And Job, who thought he knew everything about God, realized just through creation, he didn't know anything about God. And when God was done asking Job those questions, Job said, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Folks, if you think you know a lot about God, you haven't even scratched the surface. What we can learn about God just from creation alone, without ever opening the Bible, is still beyond our comprehension. But then God also reveals Himself through the means of special revelation. If you remember, general revelation, it refers to the knowledge of God that is available to all people throughout all time periods and all places. But special revelation refers to the knowledge of God that is only available to specific people at specific times and in specific places. In the 6,000 years that man has been on earth, God has revealed himself at times through an audible voice. Sometimes he done it through dreams. Sometimes it was through visions. God has revealed himself at times through messengers like prophets and angels. And then God took a period of time and he revealed himself through his Son. And then finally, through his written word. For us today, the primary ways for us to get to know God outside of creation is through getting to know his Son, Jesus Christ, and through studying God's autobiography, his Word. When we spend time looking at the person of Jesus Christ, we are in essence looking into the person of God. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. One of the things we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. Everything we see Jesus do, everything we read that Jesus says, is the same thing that God would do, and it's the same thing God would say. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus himself even said in John 8:19, said, if you knew me, you know the Father also. Jesus and the Father are one and the same. And then the other way we get to broaden our understanding of God is spending time reading his autobiography. Back in the mid-90s, I read a book. It was called Just As I Am. It was a biography of Billy Graham. It was about 700 pages long. Now, over the years, I had heard a lot about Billy Graham. I'd read, you know, a lot of bits and pieces here and there about Billy Graham. But when I sat down and took the time to read a 700-page biography, it took my understanding of Billy Graham to a whole new level than if I would have only learned about him through some short articles written by somebody else. And I say that because, maybe I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling that I might be right. I think a lot of Christians get their understanding of God through those little quotes and banners that everybody posts on Facebook. I want to know more than a Facebook God. Instead of sitting down and turning off Facebook and spending some time in God's autobiography, if you or I want to get to know God's heart, if we want to know what kind of things brings God sadness or brings him joy, if we want to learn how God thinks or responds to situations and different people, if we want to know what kind of things makes God angry and what kind of things makes him pour out his blessings on people, we're going to need to sit down, turn off cell phones, turn off Facebook, turn off TV, whatever, and just spend some quality time in his Word. The Bible is what God wrote about himself to us. He didn't write it to himself. He wrote it to us. Because he wants us to get to know him on a more intimate level. So let's begin to close this morning with this. It is possible to know a lot about God, yet still not know him on an intimate level. This goes back to something I said earlier. A lot of people, they have head knowledge of God, but they lack heart knowledge. While any knowledge about God can be a good thing and is beneficial, Knowing God is so much more than just knowing facts about Him. To truly know God means to know Him through facts and through intimacy. And the question is your understanding of God in your head only? Or has your understanding of God gotten into your heart? And how do you know the difference? By whether or not it changes your lifestyle, whether or not it changes your actions, and whether or not it changes your priorities. If you want to know about God, if what you know about God does not change the way you live and the things you do and the way you prioritize things, the odds are pretty good that your knowledge of God is just stuck in your head and it hasn't reached your heart yet. God had Jeremiah tell the people, "You will seek me, you will find me, when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Didn't say when you seek me with all your head. God is there. He is anxiously waiting to reveal Himself to any of us that will take time to diligently seek Him out. So we get ready to sing the final song. I want to just say again what I've already said. Has your knowledge of God in your head gotten into your heart? How does the knowledge of God in our head get into our heart? It doesn't get into your heart because you read the Bible. It doesn't get in the heart because you hear some preacher talk about it. The primary way it gets into your heart is by taking the knowledge you know about God, acknowledging your sinfulness in relation to God, and asking Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. At that time, God sends His Spirit to live in our hearts. And that one of the Holy Spirit's job when He comes to live in our hearts is to illuminate the Word of God to us so that we can learn more and more and more about the God we love and serve. And so if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, He's just wanting to do that today. You can begin a journey of knowing God like you've never known Him before. So if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to just come clean before the Lord. He's not looking to chastise you, and He's looking to love you. He's looking to move into your heart and take up residence and be your Lord and Savior. And it's as simple as coming clean and asking Him to do so. If this God we was talking about today is someone that you have questions about, something I've told people over the years, you hold Bible studies and somebody raise their hands, "Well, I got a stupid question." When it comes to God, there is no stupid questions. They're all good, and a lot of times you find a question somebody else has, but they won't ask. But if you're somewhere in life and you're thinking about this God guy and what He's all about and who He is, and feel free to catch me and ask me. I'd love to help you understand God, even though I have limited understanding of Him myself. But it'd be the best choice in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning, Lord. Just thank You for being the God that You are. Thank You for the privilege that You want us to know You. You're not some God that's hidden from us. You're right there in front of us at all times, whether it's in Your Word or whether it's just nature, whatever. You're there. You want us to know You, Lord. And what a privilege to get to know the God that created all things out of nothing. What an honor to know that out of all the things You've created, you made us in your image and likeness. That's just amazing that you will give us individualized, personalized attention. That you don't want our knowledge to get stuck in our heads. You want it in our hearts. You want it to be personal. You're just a fascinating God. And I know in my 20-some years of trying to get to know you, I've not even scratched the surface. And Father, I just pray that we leave here today with a yearning and a burning to get to know our God and our Savior better than we knew Him yesterday. Just love you and just thank you for all these wonderful people to come out here this morning, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.